It's the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air, your weekly local sports podcast. And now, here's your hosts, Greg Revels and Tony Stowers.
And we're back with Season 3, Episode 13 of the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air, sponsored by Pilgrim's Pride. In Season 3, Episode 13.
Nailed it.
We're neck deep in football.
Yeah, that's
right. A lot of games with playoff implications coming up. But first, we're going to talk about the number 57. Now you're looking at some guys I don't really know that well.
Ricky Jackson, another great Saints linebacker. Yeah. Him, Sam Mills, and Pat Swilling all played on the same defense, and all really good linebackers. Dwight Stevenson was a great center for the Miami Dolphins for 13 years, played for one team, doesn't happen much anymore. Johan Santana, really good pitcher, pitched a no-hitter or two. Yeah. Daryl Kyle, another good pitcher. And then Sam Davis was a guard on the Pittsburgh Steelers when they were winning all their Super Bowls in the 70s. I think he made four or five Pro Bowls. And a guy that's not really talked about a lot on those 70s Steeler teams. So we're going to talk about him today.
It's a great opportunity. Any Razorbacks that we were able to get a hold of?
I couldn't find any.
Me either. I didn't see any number 57s, you know, and I'm sure there had to be one sometime, but I couldn't find one. So none of note.
Yeah, none of note.
Yeah, so, I mean, out of that, Ricky Jackson's the one I remember the most. I do remember Dwight Stevenson. Was he in the 70s?
Yeah.
Did he play on the undefeated team?
I don't know if he goes that far back, but he goes pretty far back.
Yeah. He was a great center. I remember that. And Ricky Jackson, back when the Saints won the Super Bowl, he was there, right?
Yeah, they had the outstanding defense.
They really did.
Yeah.
They really did. But let's talk about some high school football. Time to talk about the DeQueen Leopards, and the Leopards had a homecoming game. You know, the good part of it was it didn't get rained out.
Yeah.
The bad part of it is they played the Lakeside Rams, and Lakeside Rams are a really good football team, ranked second overall in 5A, and they came down here and beat the Leopards 48-8. But, you know, again, just you see improvement.
Mm-hmm.
You really see it when you look at the stats.
Yeah, yeah.
Against these juggernauts that we've been playing the last 4 weeks, you know, we've got 200 yards of offense. You know, we've moved the ball, and we've had opportunities to score more than we have. We've either shot ourselves in the foot, or they made a great play, things like that. Friday night, though, with a very iffy forecast, everything went really well. Whoever had big parts in the Queen homecoming festivities. You did a great job. Congratulations to Queen Mary Lee Melendez, and it was beautiful. The rain held off just in time for the young ladies to walk across the field, and it was really, really well done.
Nice.
Yeah, congratulations to the Queen and her homecoming court.
Yep.
And we move on now. We get to go to Magnolia. Tony's going to get to eat at Flying Burger.
Right. Magnolia lost to Parkview 56-26. You know, interesting with DeQueen and Magnolia, you know, both are now eliminated from playoff contention. They both have the same records. And Magnolia, you know, along with Bauxite, has been the most Jekyll and Hyde teams in Arkansas this year. I mean, there are inexplicable wins for Magnolia and inexplicable losses for Magnolia. The inexplicable win that comes to mind is the beating of Nashville, beating them pretty soundly. Was it 30-6 or something?
It was 30-6.
Yeah. And then, inexplicable loss to Bauxite. Bauxite's kind of Jekyll and Hyde, too. So, Magnolia also has a run-oriented offense, kind of the wing T flex bone thing. Jamalji Marshall and Walker Carter, ran for a total of 224 yards and three touchdowns against Parkview. So, you get the Leopards and the Panthers together, and there may not be 10 passes thrown all night.
Mm. Yeah. And you know, the thing about that is, if I recall correctly, when they played Nashville, they beat Nashville by throwing the ball over them, though.
Did they?
Yeah. They would run. You know, they're in that tight formation, that running formation, that wing tee, whatever you want to call it, flex bone. And then they threw a couple of passes over them. That's how they actually got the score so high. So you still got to watch out for the passing game with Magnolia. But I think you're right. It's going to be mostly run-oriented. And, you know, the one thing about Magnolia is, you know, they're going to have some athletes.
They are.
Yeah.
They're going to have some speed.
Yeah. And so, I mean, what you got to do – contain's going to be what's important.
Yep.
Because if you let them get outside on you, they're going they're going to run down the field on you.
Before we get off the Leopards, Angel Moran had 8 tackles, had a big game for the Leopards. Landon Wise had nearly 100 yards, had 98 yards, and he's still just about on pace for 1,000 if he can come up with a couple hundred yards these last 2 weeks.
Well, and that's big, I mean, for a sophomore.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. With the schedule we play, it'd be huge.
Yeah, that's big for him. And even if he doesn't get to 1,000 yards, it's still a big year for him. He's had a great year so far, and look forward to bigger things for him as he moves on in his career. But Tony's going to get to go down to Magnolia. Mm-hmm. What are you going to dress up as when you go down there, Tony? Well, it's going to be Halloween.
I was on the brew this morning, and Tyler kind of asked me if Jay and I were going to dress up in the booth. And I told him, I let the cat out of the bag, told him we're going with a Laverne and Shirley theme.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, that's great, because you're taking Squiggy with you, right? So, I don't know where Lenny will be.
Lenny will be calling outlaw football.
But you should go as play-by-play announcers. You know, it'd be fun to dress up as one of those.
Be like maybe Howard Cosell.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
Frank Gifford.
I'm kind of the – I could go like Madden.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Yeah, yeah, John Madden.
Maybe Jacob Cosell.
Yeah.
Now, that'd be pretty cool.
That would be all right.
Yeah.
That would be cool. But anyway, you're gonna be down there on Halloween for the Magnolia to Queen game. Looking forward to that. If you remember back to the beginning of the year, Coach Bell, this is one of the games he said they would have a good shot at winning.
Yeah.
And so, identical records, basically played the same team. So we'll see what happens there. Looking forward to it, and hoping for a Leopard victory this week.
All right, Coach Bell, we've gone through now what we call the gauntlet to Parkview, Hot Springs, Fairview, and Lakeside. I figure you believe those four will represent 5A South very well in the upcoming playoffs.
Yeah. I had picked Lakeside to come out, number one, throughout this year, but it could be any of those four. They're all really good teams. And like you said, we went through the gauntlet, and we got some guys banged up, so we're going to be playing some kids in some different places this year. But, yeah, those four teams could give anybody a run for their money.
Coach, DeQueen and Magnolia, two teams that mirror themselves offensively. Both teams love to run the football. We could have a fast-moving game Friday night.
Yeah, they're more wing T oriented, where we're more flex bone oriented. But yeah, we both like to run the ball. They will come out and throw it, maybe one or two times a game, where we've kind of gotten to the spread a little bit more, just try to get people out of the box. But yeah, it's a similar team coming playing each other Friday night.
Coach, Thursday night, the junior high Cubs close out their season at Leopard Stadium against the Magnolia Juniors. I know you've enjoyed following the Cubs this year, especially with your son Brody about to be a fourth-generation Leopard next year. But I know you want the fans to come out and support the Cubs as they try to wrap up a 6-win season Thursday night.
Yeah, they have a good shot at winning another conference game. They lost at Camden Fairview, a really, really close one, to get that 6th win, and then played a tough Lakeside team away, but this is one they could probably get again. Our two teams are very, very similar, and hopefully we can bring out another win. And I always support people coming out and watching the DeQueen Cubs or Leopards play a game, and it should be actually football weather, probably in the 40s and 50s, so it should be nice.
Coach, back to Friday night, senior high matchup in Magnolia. We've typically played pretty well down there over the years. What will be the keys to a Leopard victory Friday night?
Well, again, we got to be able to move the ball and keep the time possession in our hands, because both teams are going to be very, very similar. Both teams are 3 or 4 yards in a cloud of dust trying to bust the big one. So we're going to have to try to stop that run from them busting the big one and force a turnover here and there to win that game. So I think whoever has the ball the most and the least turnovers will win this one.
At Pilgrims, their vision guides everything they do to be the best and most respected company in the industry, creating the opportunity of a better future for their team members. Absolutely amazing. We love having Pilgrims Pride as our title sponsor. From education and recreation to healthcare and social services, JBS USA invests in meaningful community projects that have lasting benefits for their team members and their neighbors, and they provide meaningful investments in projects that will have lasting impact for generations to come. The Hometown Strong Initiative is part of a $70 million contribution to the communities where they live and work. Also, building the largest free college tuition program in rural America, Better Futures. Pilgrims is providing team members and their child dependents the opportunity to pursue their higher education dreams for associate degrees and trade certificates at community and technical college tuition free. Also, they want their team members to know just how much they appreciate their dedication by ensuring they love working with us. As part of their total compensation package, they offer comprehensive employee benefits designed to meet the healthcare and financial goals of their team members and their families today, tomorrow, and in the future. Their seven values include determination, simplicity, availability, humility, sincerity, discipline, and ownership. These values are reflected in the hard work of their team members every single day. Community is also a driving force behind everything Pilgrims does, whether it's in community events, fundraisers, charitable donations to the community. Pilgrims can always be seen helping wherever they can. We value the people who make our company a success. Seriously, so many fundraisers in the area, you always know Pilgrims always donates the chicken and even cooks it sometimes. They're always seen in the community for many community events. So we appreciate them so much in the community for employing so many people here, and also for sponsoring and being the title sponsor for the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air. So again, we appreciate them so much. Opportunity awaits. Join their talent community today and visit jobs.pilgrims.com.
Time to talk about the Horatio Lions now. The Horatio Lions, 2-6 on the year. They lost to Falk Friday night, 42-6. You know, Tony, just the Lions, a lot of teams in our area having this trouble, just don't have the players they need to compete with some of these other teams. You know, we've been down to Falk, and we've seen what kind of teams they have. They've got big kids, and they've got a pretty good number of kids too.
I would have to say, and I don't know this, I've not looked it up, but just from what I know of the schools, I would have to say Falk is one of the biggest 3A schools.
Yeah.
Would you not?
Well,
would you think that?
I mean, I would think that. I have no clue, yeah. But I would think that. I also think that when you get to those teams like that right there, Falk, Genoa Central, they draw kids from Texarkana.
Right? Yeah.
You know, and so you're going to have some kids that move out there because they just want to live out in the country, but it's close enough to work.
Or maybe they can't play at Arkansas High or Pleasant Grove, right. Whatever, and they go out there and they can play.
That's right. I think that's going to get your numbers up some. I mean, with the injuries that the Lions have had, I mean, their quarterback didn't get to play this week. And so Joseph Fonseca ended up – they kind of ran the wild hog the whole game.
Yeah.
As quarterback and just doing the best they can do, you know.
Not quitting.
No, they're not quitting. And they got kids that are playing hard. Mentioned Salvador Alleman. He played the first half at tight end, went in and switched jerseys, played the second half as a guard.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So you know, that's what they're doing.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
That's versatility.
Well,
yeah.
And I think that's buying into what coaches are trying to do. You know, it's fun to win.
Mm-hmm.
But you learn a lot of lessons by losing.
You do.
And when you see, I mean, when you see these kind of these kids doing those things, he's teaching them right.
Yeah.
Down there, because they're doing, you know, they understand you do whatever you got to do.
Yeah.
And make the best of it. And
it's they host the Harmony Grove Hornets, Greg. They're 1-7. It seems like they've been in a lot of close games, Harmony Grove, and just come out on the wrong end of them. For instance, last week they lost to Center Point 28-22, but I believe this is a winnable game for the Lions.
Yeah, it is a winnable game, you know, and I think that's a situation. They're at Horatio, that helps, and they should get their quarterback back this week. Looking for good things from Horatio this week.
Absolutely.
So let's see what Coach Paul David Willis has to say about the Lions this week.
I've got Coach Paul David Willis of the Horatio Lions here today. And Coach, went down there and looks like they turned into monsters on you.
Well, it got kind of ugly kind of quick. I mean, you know, I'm not taking anything away from them. They're well coached and, you know, they got a lot of athletes and, you know, they play hard and they do what they know what to do and they do what they do. But, you know, we went down there and our quarterback that we thought was going to play ended up not playing. And we ended up moving Fonseca to quarterback. And he kind of was a fish out of the water. And then the kid that we were going to have back him up ended up not making the trip. And so he was the only quarterback we had in the house. And we kind of had to improvise there for a little while and do some other stuff. And, you know, we were kind of playing left-handed. And, you know, when you're struggling anyway and then you start playing left-handed, it doesn't really help the cause.
Yeah, I understand. And, you know, knowing Falk, like, as far as what I've seen, they've always got some what I term big old boys.
Yeah, I mean, they're big and, they're, you know, they're physical and they play hard. And, you know, that kind of got to us a little bit too.
Yeah. Well, I know there were some good things that came out of it. Why don't you tell me a little bit about that?
Well, I mean, I was proud of Joseph Fonseca. Like I said, he had been a halfback and defensive back pretty much the whole year, and he ended up he was still, I guess, kind of playing halfback, but we kind of had to improvise. We kind of went to, I don't know, I guess most people call it a wildcat stuff, and just kind of snapped the ball straight to him and ran the ball, but. You know, it's still different, and anytime you change things around, it makes it kind of complicated.
Right.
So, but he did a good job. He competed and played with good effort, and I'm proud of him. Had a kid, another kid, Salvador Alleman, that we've been trying to play him at tight end. He does a good job at tight end. And then we had some linemen go down, so we got, well, we didn't have any backup linemen, so. We ended up going in at halftime and changing his jersey and playing him at guard, which he had played guard some before, but we're trying to leave him at tight end. But we, just because of injuries and, you know, some other things, we wasn't really able to do that. So, you know, he stepped up and did what we asked him to do, never complained, never said a negative word. So, you know, anytime a kid does something like that, you're proud of that young man. So I'm proud of both those guys. I mean, we had some other guys that competed, but, you know, we just, man, our numbers are hurting us, and it puts a mind on those kids.
Yeah. I understand. You know, the thing about it is, Salvador there, what you told me about him, you're teaching them some stuff, you know, if they're willing to do those kind of things. And that's what it's really all about. Everybody wants to win every game, but learning lessons that'll help you later in life is the most important thing.
Well, you know, we hope so, and that was really kind of why we got into this, and you know, that's kind of what we're trying to do, and I just hope that, you know, what we're doing is making a positive influence on these kids' lives.
Yeah. Yeah, and it looks like it is. So, anyway, moving on to anything else you want to talk about before we move on?
No, I mean, from their point of view, it's going to be an interesting deal because them and Center Point and Camden Harmony Grove are basically all tied there at the bottom of the playoff ladder. One of them's going to be fourth, one of them's going to be fifth, and one of them's going to be sixth. And whoever gets the lucky draw to be fifth gets to go all the way to Salem. So, you know, it's like, congratulations, you're in the playoffs, but guess what? You're going to Salem.
Yeah, it takes you 3 days to get there.
3 days to get there, and then you get to play Godzilla when you get there.
That's right. That's right. But, well, speaking of Camden Harmony Grove, you know, their record's 1-7, but the team they beat was Falk, which I thought was
right.
Interesting. You know, so, and like you said there, you got three teams vying for two spots, and the one that gets the last spot is going to get the pleasure of playing in Salem. So,
right.
Yeah, that's anyway, you get, it's a home game for y'all. You got two more games this year, and, you know, I know this game, just being honest, probably a more winnable game than the next game against Bauxite, because Bauxite beat Junction City.
Bismarck.
I'm sorry. I said Bauxite. You're right. Bismarck, if I'm not mistaken, they beat – did they beat Junction City?
They beat everybody they played.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought they –
well, no, that, I think they lost one early. I think Mansfield beat them. But, yeah. But they – I mean, they beat Prescott Friday night, like 36-0 or something of that nature. So, I mean, they're no doubt they're going to win our conference, and they're the best team at our conference. And Coach Keithley, and you know, he's got a couple of kids, his sons that play for him, and they're outstanding football players. So that's going to be that's not going to be a real fun trip either, but it is what it is.
Yeah, but this week, you know, I think this is a game that y'all can compete in and you know, potentially win. And
well, you know, I don't disagree with you. You know, they got some athletes, and they're kind of their record is not a representation of really how good they are. They're pretty good. They've got a quarterback that's kind of been he's like us. He kind of plays a week and is off a week. He's had a lot of injuries, and I think he's had some personal issues in his life that he's had to deal with. And you know, honestly, I think the young man lost his mother, and I, you know, I can't imagine having to deal with that. So the kid's got a lot on his plate, but yeah. Other than that, the kid, he's probably one of the most talented kids in our conference. And if he's in the game, it's going to be a tough task, because I'm not sure we can catch him. If we catch him, I'm not sure we can tackle him.
Yeah, I understand, but. You know, the thing about it is just persevering through and doing what you got to do. Like you said, numbers are short. Junior high season, are you done now?
Yeah, they finished up last week. So
bring up you can bring up some more players, maybe.
We're going to try to get a couple up. You know, nothing else is going to help us practice.
Right. So, well, Coach. I always enjoy talking to you. I appreciate you, your honesty and the integrity you've got and that you're teaching these kids. And I think it's all, you know, it's showing up in the effort that they're putting forward. And hopefully next week we're going to talk about a win over Camden Harmony Grove. How about that?
Well, you know, I hope so. And I know this. It's not. I didn't know. I mean, I knew this wasn't going to be an overnight fix when I started. And you know, I know pretty factual that Rome wasn't built in a day. So, you know, things didn't get like this overnight. It's not going to get fixed overnight. It's going to take persistence.
Yeah. Well, and I know you got that, man. I appreciate you and all you do. Go Lions.
All right. Thank you.
DeQueen Animal Hospital and Ashdown Veterinary Clinic. DeQueen Animal Hospital at 1690 Highway 70 West, right here in DeQueen. Give them a call, 870-642-8387 to schedule an appointment today. And Ashdown Veterinary Clinic, located at 139 Southern Drive in Ashdown. You can call them at 870-898-5181. Come on, man. Martin Veterinary Services, think of them as your other family doctor, okay? Everybody knows their first little ones. Come on, you need to give them the best health care possible, and you will do no wrong by going with Martin Veterinary Services, Ashdown Veterinary Clinic, DeQueen Animal Hospital. Just if you don't take my word for it, take all these Google reviews, 5 stars across the board of all of this. And they're all recent, too. They help our dogs. They give them shots. They check them out. Absolutely awesome place to take your fur babies. This town gained angels when he brought his family here. That's how much people trust Dr. Martin and his staff. Absolutely amazing staff. I've used them personally. I got myself a new dog not long ago. A new dog. Got myself a dog, and he was a stray, so took him there. He of course had, worms and some other small problems, some skin problems. They helped him through all of that. And then actually just recently got him, got him neutered over there. And it was a great process. They kept him overnight, and picking him up, and you almost couldn't even tell that anything had happened, So that was very, very cool to see. They love my dog up there, and I'm sure they love yours. I've taken my cats there for their yearly shots and all that stuff. So whether it's just routine or something serious, you can trust DeQueen Animal Hospital and Ashdown Veterinary Clinic. We appreciate them for sponsoring the podcast since the very beginning. So trust Martin Veterinary Services today.
It's time to talk about the Foreman Gators, and the Gators went over to Dirks and what a game.
Yeah, I think if you didn't care who won, that would have been, and we called it.
Yeah.
We don't get much right, but we called that as our game of the week, and it lived up to that billing.
It sure did. 47-46.
Now, I wish we knew somebody that was there.
Yeah. I know. It'd be pretty cool. I think one of the things, well, he's going to wait till we talk about the Outlaws and talk about it. But Jeff, one of the things I want to talk about, and I'd like to get your take on this, is because I'm not 100% sure, but I think they scored like 21, 28 points in the last 5 minutes of the game.
Yeah, it was. Hey, I've been doing it 21 years. That's one of the wildest games I've probably ever called on the radio.
Yeah.
Final score 47-46. Outlaws jumped out to a 21-0 lead. So that kind of tells you how the rest of the game went. It was just back and forth.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. If you don't care who wins.
That's right.
and I think there were, a lot of good performances there by both teams. And when you do that, this week the Foreman Gators are going to get to host the Gurdon Go Devils.
Yeah, it's Halloween. It's the Gurdon Lights. That's their team now.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's the Gurdon Lights.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the fourth quarter there was 34 points scored in that game.
Dang.
That's crazy.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And I bet you there were a bunch of those were in the last 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Because I just know they're running touchdowns here and there, long plays and things like that.
It took a while to play that one out with all the stoppages for scores and things like that.
You didn't run out of ads, did you?
They didn't tell me if I did.
They just replay them.
Of course, they don't tell me a lot.
Yeah, I understand. But, this week they got the Gurdon Lights or the Gurdon Go Devils or whatever. Yeah. Whatever you want to be, Halloween, it's not a time to play the Go Devils or the Lights.
No.
Have you ever seen the Gurdon Lights, by the way?
I haven't.
I have.
You have?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have.
You have as well?
Yeah.
Yep. Tony?
I don't know what you're talking about.
That was right before he got expelled from college.
At least that's what they told me they were, and I was I was believing anything at that time.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Cars going down the interstate. Yeah, that convinced me it was the Gurdon Lights.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh man, it really is pretty cool.
Yeah. I haven't seen it. It's apparently it's a local kind of folklore-y thing. It's the railroad tracks, and they've been not in like nobody
right they, no service
they're out
right.
of service or whatever.
So
but
is
you
it worth a trip to Gurdon to see him?
I believe so. On Halloween, tons of people go out there and they'll see a light coming down the track. And
is there any place to eat out there?
You can lay down on the ground. You can take your pallet.
Alan's Barbecue in Gurdon's worth eating.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it's a ghost train, I think is the idea.
We'll make a day of it.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to football.
It sounds good to me.
Yeah. it's worth going to.
Yeah.
Once.
Yeah.
The Gurdon Go Devils are a really good football team.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably looking at second in that conference, I would think.
Beat probably the most improved team in that conference, Spring Hill, 24-6.
I was just going to say, as far as making a day of it, I wouldn't do it this week because it says Foreman hosts Gurdon. So I mean, you might want to go to Foreman.
Yeah, you might want to go next week. Yeah, yeah.
The Outlaws travel to Garden, so that might be a good day.
So there's there's no Foreman lights.
No.
There is, but they're blue and they're usually behind you in the rearview mirror.
You know from experience.
Yeah, you know that one too. Ooh, spooky.
Yeah. That is spooky.
Yeah.
But it, anyway, going to be a tough game for the Gators. But the Gators, you know, really been playing good football. And you know, that, we talk about that a little bit with the Leopards earlier. And when you talk about the Gators, you know, they're 3-5. Much improvement, but I mean they've been in games too.
Yeah.
So you know, and so they're really getting better. Coach Ed Baker and his staff are doing a good job down there, and we'll see what happens with the Garden Go Devils this week.
I'm here with Coach Ed Baker, the former Gators. Coach, man, what an exciting football game Friday night.
Man, it was. It was a fun one if you were a fan. The ending not so fun for the Gator fans, but man, it was exciting.
I just think, I mean, you know, ended up a 1-point game, 47-46. How many points were scored in the last half of the last quarter?
Oh, goodness. Probably 28, maybe. I guess both teams are at least 21.
So that's a lot of fun, a lot of back and forth anyway, and just never know what's going to happen.
It was some crazy stuff. We got down 21 to nothing. And then scored a couple touchdowns before halftime. It was 21-16. I can't remember if they scored right at the end of the half or – yeah, I think they scored right at the end of the half to make it 27-16. We came out, had a nice drive and scored, and then got a stop and scored to go up 32-27. And then they were able – and we actually got another stop, had a chance to – got down, had a first and 10 on the 16, and then their defense stiffened up, and we went backwards. So they got the ball, scored real quick, and took the lead again, and then got another stop and scored quick to go up 41-32. And there was probably 3 minutes left at that time, and then Keenan Marshall had a huge kickoff return for a touchdown, which got us back in the game. I think got it to 41-38. That was our only 2-point we didn't make all night, which turned out to be huge. We were 5 out of 6 on 2 points. So it was 41-38 right there. And then that gun, we got stopped. It was like a 4th and 3, and they're trying to finish the clock off. And Victron Moore picked off a pass and ran it back for a touchdown, put us up 46-41 with a couple minutes left. And man, they were able to hit a big screen pass and then put a ball in. I think there was 39 or 36 seconds left on the clock. They went up 47-46. And then we actually had a couple cracks, ran reverse on a first or second down, picked up 5 or 6. And then we threw a little hitch and pitch. We almost scored on, probably picked up, I don't know, if we break one tackle or maybe cut and run it a different way, then we went on the last play of the game. But, yeah, what an exciting finish and heck of a game. I'm real, real proud of our kids for battling back. They could have cashed it in when it was 21-0 early, and they fought and battled back and took the lead, like I said, and then got down again 2 scores and came back and took the lead again. So really proud of our effort.
Yeah, really, really, really exciting game, you know, especially if you just want to see a good football game.
Yes, sir.
I understand everybody wants to win, but just a lot. You're right. I mean, to come back from that and not just give up and keep going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Just a really exciting game. But anybody you want to mention that had a good game for you this week?
Well, Keenan's going to be our player of the game because that kickoff return was huge and got us back in the game. And he had 4 tackles on defense as well. But we had a bunch of people with good games. Brody Bearden had, I think, 23 carries for 140 yards and 3 touchdowns. Rylan Johnson chipped in with, like, 50 yards on some carries and a touchdown. He also had, I think, 7, may have been our leading tackler, 7 tackles on defense. Like I said, Victron Moore with interception return. And also played well offensively. Hayden Easter does a great job running the offense every week. Kalen Easter had a big game on the defensive side as well. Just a lot of kids. And if you're running the ball well, obviously your offensive line has a lot to do with that as well. So, yeah, it was just a good all-around game.
Well, it was a really good game. Well, moving on to this week, you got the Gurdon Go Devils down in Foreman. Go Devils playing pretty good football right now.
Yes, sir. They're probably gonna wind up being the two seed out of the conference. They're always tough. Again, Coach Jackson does a really, really good job. Their whole staff, man, they've got some. Played their junior high last night. They've got some ninth graders. I don't know if they'll move them up. Their high school's playing well without them. So, but they've got a really good junior high group too. That's going to be moving up next year. So, yeah, they've got it kind of rolling over there. Again, they do a really good job. It's going to be a tough game for us, but one that I think our kids will rise to the challenge.
And I'm sure they have a lot of speed over there.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. They've got some speed in the backfield for sure. Some do a good job up front on both sides of the ball, defensively and offensively up front as well. So it's going to be a challenge for us. We need to win to stay in the playoff hunt. We're going to need a little help now since we've dropped that one last week. We kind of can't help ourselves other than just win these last two. But we're telling the kids, you just got to focus on the one in front of you. And then we can't control everybody else. So, but we do need some help. But we are still alive for a playoff spot.
Well, that's good. So that's something you got something to play for in the ninth week of the season. You're doing pretty good. So
yes, sir. It's kind of one of those crazy years in the conference where there's still like four teams vying for two spots. So it's five teams I think vying for those last two spots. One of them's going to be decided between Murfreesboro and Spring Hill. Whoever wins that's probably going to be the three seeds, and that game's this Friday night. But then that four spot's kind of up for grabs.
Well, that sounds good. Dave, you talked about junior high there for a minute. Y'all's junior high season is over?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Finished last night. Finished 5-4. Had an early game, weathered out. Our first game of the year with Parker Chapel. Didn't get to play that one. Kids played really well. I think we finished third in the conference this year. Lost to, like I said, Gurdon is going to wind up being the undefeated conference champ. And then I think Mineral is going to wind up second.
Yeah. Well, that's good. So are you bringing any of those kids up to play this week?
We got a few that'll move up and play with us. Not sure, you know, like how much they'll play, but we got a couple that could help us if we need be, for sure. They're for sure going to help us depth-wise.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's good. Anything else you got for me before I let you go today?
No, sir. Getting ready to get basketball rolling over here in a few weeks. Hopefully we can put off the senior boys part of it for a little bit, but everybody else is fixing to rock and roll into hoops, so we're looking forward to that.
Yeah, it's getting that time of year. Well, yeah, man, I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me, and I'll talk to you next week. Go
Gators. Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Go Gators.
All right, thank you.
Time to talk Ashdown Panthers, and Panthers went over to Arkadelphia, and no shame in this, but lost 65-6. Arkadelphia, one of the best teams in 4A, actually ranked second right now. In 4A, you know, the Ashdown Panthers, again, another team that's kind of short on numbers, Tony.
Yeah, they are depleted numbers and injuries, and you know, I think that maybe their first four or five kids are as good as anybody's first four or five, but you know, their 6 through 25 stops at 25, and everybody else is 6 through 50, mm-hmm. And just so much deeper than Ashdown.
Yeah, and it just makes it tough for them. They're 1-7 now, and they're going to host the Bauxite Miners. Who knows what they're going to do? we look at them. You know, I mean, so you look at them. They Magnolia beats Nashville like a dog. You know. Then Bauxite beats Magnolia worse than that.
Yeah.
And you think, man, what's going to happen? And it, you know, it's just like up, down. You never know what you're going to get. Now, you mentioned that earlier. Yeah. So
it's probably one of the things you want out of a football team at least, right, is consistency, right?
Well, if you're good, you do.
Yeah.
If you're bad, you don't want consistency. But
fair enough.
But the thing about it is, one of the things about Ashdown is this game's at Ashdown. Bauxite's, like you said, Jekyll and Hyde. You know, if they come down here and beat Hyde,
right? Ashdown's got a shot at beating them.
That's
absolutely
right. It's homecoming for Ashdown this week.
Yep.
So I think this is something that, you know, Ashdown's got athletes.
Yeah.
And I can tell you one thing. You got Bryson French and you got Riley Williamson. And you can be in a game.
Yeah. Are they having to play on both sides of the field?
I know Riley plays some safety. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think they both play both ways.
And that just only happens really a lot in small towns, right? Small towns. Or you're the Dodgers and you play two different positions.
Well, I think that depending on your depth, you have more kids play two ways, and then there's a certain coaching philosophy to it where some coaches think that their best players should be on the field regardless of whether they're playing both offense and defense, and then some coaches think, no, I need to rest my young man either on offense or defense. So, I mean, it's
a lot of factors.
Yeah.
Well, you know, one, we can talk about some of that. The weather affects some of it.
It does, especially early in the year.
Yeah, yeah, because it's so hot.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know, all that's getting in shape and doing that stuff and all that kind of stuff too, which that's way out of our league.
Sure.
We hadn't been in shape for so long. We don't know what. We're all in shape around.
Yeah.
But other than that, we don't really know anything about that kind of stuff. But I think that, you know, like I said, it looks like Bauxite ought to be down this week. So I think the Ashdown Panthers have a really good shot because they won about 48-0 last week.
Right.
So when they win like that, the next game they usually don't win. So, you know, it's just up and down. So we'll see what happens to them. But let's see what Jim Cross has to say.
I'm with Jim Cross, the play-by-play man and all-around good guy from the Ashdown Panthers. And Jim, it was a tough week to be a Panther. Of course, there's going to be a lot of tough weeks when you're playing Arkadelphia.
I tell you, Tony, Arkadelphia, I don't know how Nashville beat them, to be honest. You know, Nashville's good as well. But Arkadelphia, boy, they're both sides of the offense and defensive line were as impressive as I've seen in a long time. And then because of that, the quarterback had all day and the receivers, I mean, you can only cover for so long. But they were as well-rounded offensively in the run game and the passing game of anybody I've seen. And I've seen Mills and I've seen Nashville. And I know Nashville beat Arkadelphia, but for Arkadelphia, they were impressive.
Well, you know, that to the top of 4A, man, is just if you're just a football fan, you know, some of those matchups that could be in the quarterfinals and semifinals will just be unbelievable when you're considering Arkadelphia, Nashville, Dardanelle, Mills, some teams like that. I mean, it's just going to be and you guys have got a big dose of all that.
Yeah, we've played a lot of those teams.
Yeah.
and then down in down in South Arkansas, Southeast Arkansas, you got the Hamburg.
Yeah.
Who's really good this year with their star running back.
I believe they beat Magnolia as well, didn't they?
I believe they did, and also beat Warren. So so I mean there's a lot of good teams. It'll be interesting to see I think it's gonna get down the offense and defensive lines. And that Arkadelphia, boy, they were impressive. They were impressive.
Yeah, I've heard their lines are something to behold. Who I know that the Bryson French, I think I saw somewhere where he had a pretty good ball game.
Yeah, he, we had a lot of opportunities for kickoffs, and they kicked it off to us, and he ran 96 yards. And Tony, I think he could have run to the Queen. I mean,
when he just runs into the tunnel.
Yeah, I mean, once he hit the hole, I mean, they didn't have anybody could catch him.
Oh,
and I thought, boy, you could see his eyes. Daryl and I come in on the radio. We could see his eyes. We felt like we see his eyes light up. And man, he took it to the house. And he had a couple of good catches as well. And Riley Williamson had his typical, you know, fantastic game. And you know, if Riley, I don't want to knock on the line here, but if Riley was on a better team overall, boy, he'd be getting all kind of honors because he is as elusive and makes some plays that you think, how did he get the ball to that guy?
Right.
And he never seems to get flustered, always encouraging his teammates. And he's had a fantastic season.
Well, and Deshaun Carty had a good game as well.
He sure did. He plays defensive back. He's a senior, and he made a lot of tackles. And which that's the good news. He made a lot of tackles. The bad news is he plays defensive back.
Yeah, that's right.
But at the same time, I can't think of a time, Tony, that he didn't bring down the guy coming his way. So he was very physical, and he's not a very big guy. And he even told me in an interview with him a few minutes ago that he's had to kind of learn to tackle because he's always been kind of a small stature. And he kind of smiled and he said, as long as I hit him low, I'm in good shape.
Well, man, I tell you what, if from what I saw the Pittsburgh Steelers last night, if somebody's out there teaching tackling, good for them. Tackling is just down overall in football everywhere. So
I agree.
Even on the professional level, everybody wants to knock somebody down.
Yeah, they do.
Okay, well, we turn the page and we get to the Bauxite Miners, and you and I have talked at great extent about Bauxite being kind of the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde of the 7-4A, and so a lot depends on who you get, right?
Yeah, it does, and also you know, they beat Malvern, and right. So in talking to Coach Reed, our defensive coordinator, he said, boy, they're huge up front. And so, you know, that's kind of bad news for us, quite frankly. But at the same time, they're going to throw the ball. They're going to run the ball. And so, in my opinion, our strength is our secondary.
Right.
And maybe we can get a tip ball, get an interception or two, get some turnovers. And so I think we don't match up very well, Tony, against a team that's going to run the ball down your throat like Harmony Grove. And so, you know, I think that's where we have a chance, and we're playing at home. It's homecoming, be a lot of excitement, a lot of people in the stands. And so at this point, we don't have anything to lose, and really a Bauxite has everything to lose. And so I think that's kind of where it could play into our hand Friday night at DK Stadium.
Yeah, because you know, they're kind of in the thick of it, and the Panthers would have the opportunity to play spoiler.
Yes, and if things go right, if somehow we could beat Bauxite and Fountain Lake, and I think if something else happens, we could sneak into the playoffs. But you know, Bauxite could be anywhere from the third to the fifth seed.
Right,
and I know they don't want to be the fifth, and so you know, this game's huge for them as well. But I think we can kind of play with some. You know, with, you know, being loose and relaxed and, you know, play in front of a good homecoming crowd, and let's just try to get ahead and see what happens.
So it's homecoming.
Homecoming. Yeah, homecoming on Halloween night. What do you think about that, Tony?
Well, I don't think it's a terrible idea, because it'll probably be football weather instead of having your homecoming when it's 85. So I don't think it's that bad an idea personally. So do you all host Fountain Lake as well?
No, we go on the road to Fountain Lake.
So homecoming and senior night, same night, or did you all celebrate senior night earlier?
We did senior night earlier.
Okay. All righty. Well, brother, I always enjoy our conversations, and we've got, you know, we wait all summer for football season to start, and now, you know, we're in week 9, and it breaks my heart a little bit, because, you know, there's just so many, you wait for football season so long, and then it seems like it flies by.
Boy, it goes quickly. I tell you, I was checking my calendar today. I couldn't believe that it was week 9, and but it goes fast. It's a joy to be a part of it. And,
yep.
You know, I know you feel the same way that you do with your team, that, you know, you just love the kids, and you're going to miss them when they graduate, and you just treasure the moment.
That's exactly right. But it'll be time to get out that little, that round orange ball here in a little bit.
Yeah, sure will.
Well, brother, you have a great week.
Thank you, Tony.
Take care.
Bye-bye. UA Cossetot, cccua.edu. We appreciate them so much for sponsoring the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air, and you need to go to that website today. You can find out so much information, including how to apply and enroll, and check out all of their programs and areas of study, their degree plans, medical education, online programs, programs by campus, and their high school programs as well. You can graduate high school with an associate's degree using the UA Cossetot high school programs they have on offer. You can also figure out how to pay for college as well, either with financial aid or scholarships, disbursements and refunds, and so much more. Figure out your textbooks and all career pathways. You can also check out their athletic stuff, their Colts merchandise shop. And speaking of that, you can go to uacossetotcolts.com. That is a website dedicated just for Colts fans. So you can check out, you know, basketball's about to be starting up. Soccer is going strong right now. Their shooting sports are going strong. And you can visit their team shop. And you can donate directly to the UA Cossatá Colts and their athletic department there on the website. So join the Colts Club today and go to uacossatacolts.com. And again, they're the main website. You can find out everything you need to know. Look at their calendar. Check out more about them and the news and all of their locations and everything. UA Cossatá, again, we appreciate them so much for sponsoring the podcast, and they've been with us for a good while now. So again, it's perfect for us, and we love talking about them. UA Cossatá, hit up cccua.edu today. It's now time for my favorite part of the show, the awards segment, where we're able to give out all these players great awards every single week.
Well, let's get started with it, and let's start with the Shelter Insurance Woods Agency Leopard Player of the Week, and that's going to go to?
Going to go to Landon Weiss, 16 carries and 98 yards against Lakeside.
The Domtar Panther Player of the Week is?
Deshaun Clardy led the Panthers in tackles against Arkadelphia.
Horatio State Bank Line Player of the Week.
The versatile Salvador Alderman, who played offensive line and
tight end.
And tight end.
Yeah.
Wow. in the same game, had to switch numbers.
Switch jerseys.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Horatio State Bank Gator Player of the Week.
Keenan Marshall had a key kick return that got the Gators back in the game with Derrick's. He also had four tackles.
And that kick return was for a TD.
That's right.
Yeah, so congratulations to him. Loveless Refrigeration Scrapper Player of the Week is going to be?
Bry Williams had 11 tackles and a tackle for loss for the scrap.
Had a great year for that young man. Shelter Insurance Todd Moore Agency Outlaw Player of the Week this week is going to be?
McLean Smith, who had 25 carries for 102 yards and four touchdowns and was 9 of 17 for 120 yards in the air.
All right, and the Union Bank of Mena Bearcat Player of the Week is a big surprise this week.
Creeping up the record book, Ryder House with 10 tackles and a half against the Dover Pirates.
I would hate to play against Ryder House. Because apparently he's just looking for something to tackle all the time. Yeah. Union Bank of Mena also sponsors the Eagle Player of the Week. There was no action for the Eagles this week, so there's no Player of the Week. We'll get back to them next week as they start basketball season. Now we're moving on to the area awards. The Toad Thumper Lure Offensive Player of the Area this week is going to be?
Going to be Drake Thatcher, 16 carries, 159 yards, and a touchdown. Add to that three catches for 73 yards.
And the Horatio State Bank Defensive Player of the Area?
That's going to be Mason Smith of the Outlaws as well. He only had 16 tackles Friday night.
Only. And then we move up to the overall T-shirt winner of the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air, Mud Creek Designs Player of the Area, and that is?
Jacoby Hobson of the Scrap had 14 carries for 147 yards and two touchdowns. He also was 9 of 11 through the air for 131 yards and two more touchdowns.
Yawa.
Yeah. And got one more thing to do, Tony. That's all the awards for the week, but we do have to mention our DeQueen Motorsports game of the week, and that's going to be?
It's going to be the Clinton Yellow Jackets traveling to Mena to play the Bearcats in a big game.
All right. So that's all the awards.
And I think that about wraps up high school football for this episode, but we love talking about some more national topics, and this conversation is brought to you by Mena Pre-Owned.
All right, guys. I actually had the pleasure of going to the first Razorback basketball exhibition game against Cincinnati and then watched them last night as they played the Memphis Tigers. Two what I would consider blowout wins, one by 30 and the other one by 24.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they looked really, really good in both games.
Yeah.
From what I saw.
I've got my Arkansas stuff on today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they're going to be like I said before, they're going to win a lot of games. They're going to be fun to watch. They still don't have a big inside guy.
Yeah. Well, you would think with the money they're spending, they could find one.
Yeah, you would.
Are we going to do – is there potential to lose these players before the season actually starts?
No. Well, no? I mean, they could get hurt.
I was going to say, to injury would be the only way.
Okay. Nobody can
– any of them named Amaliva?
Yeah. Any of them? Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, no, they leave – or before the season when that happens.
Okay.
You know, of course, the season hadn't started. The actual real season
these
starts next Monday.
Exhibition games. Marshall's played some big-time exhibition opponents as well. They played Allison Lloyd, and they played Davis and Elkins. So Marshall's done pretty good considering
is that
the
high school teams
people.
In West Virginia?
They are definitely would be like Great American Conference teams.
How did Allison Lloyd do against them? Because I hadn't seen her play.
Alice is pretty good. Alice is better than Lloyd, and Davis is better than Elkins.
And, you know, I tell you, when you look at the Razorbacks, though, he has got a pre-conference schedule that is going to be tough.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to play – they play Southern Monday night in their home opener. Then they go to Michigan State.
That's a tough place to play.
Yeah. And then
against a real good coach.
Yeah, and they're playing – they're going to play Duke on Thanksgiving Day in Chicago.
Yeah.
They're playing Louisville in the ACC-SEC Challenge.
Yeah.
They're playing Texas Tech in Dallas. They're playing Houston in New Jersey, New York, but it's actually going to be
good
in New
chance
Jersey.
A lot of those teams could see each other again in March, isn't it?
Well, that's what I was going to say is they're playing every one of the teams that were in the Elite Eight in their either in their preseason or in the conference.
Right.
So, pretty ambitious schedule for Razorbacks. You know, last night they were led by two freshmen guards.
I mean, those freshmen are pretty good.
They tore it up.
I watched them in like the All-Star games and stuff, high school All-Star games, and you could tell they were going to be something.
Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, the thing about Memphis is they've always got good basketball players.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I think they're going to be pretty good. Like I said, they're going to be fun to watch. Are they going to win the national championship?
Absolutely. Oh, I thought you were asking.
I was. I was going to say who knows, but you already wrote it down, so yep. I'm writing
it down. I've
already
got my bracket filled out.
Yeah, 10-25 on
Tuesday. It's like his golf work card.
Yeah.
He's already got it filled out.
Yeah. What's this?
Oh, yeah, I agree for that. But, you know, moving on from that, unless y'all got something else you want to talk about, and that's the best part of it, because now we got to talk about Razorback football. To some extent.
We don't have to.
No, we're not going to much. Well, we're going
to
talk.
We're contractually obligated to talk about Razorback football.
What we are going to talk about is the fact that our possibility of getting a really good coach keeps going down the longer we wait.
Well, you know, the thing is, you know, LSU fires Brian Kelly. Apparently, nobody out there in any of these administrative roles has done the math. And I've done the math. I'm pretty good at math. I stat a lot, things like that. Listen to this. Try to follow me on this. For every winner, there has to be a loser. So that means not everybody can go undefeated. Does everybody understand?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think I'm there.
So, but everybody wants to go undefeated. I mean, everybody fires their – I mean, Kelly, was he a disappointment in LSU? Probably. Would 34-14 be a disappointment for most schools? Probably not. So it's just pretty good.
But, you know, most schools don't have LSU's athletes either.
No.
You know, and
money and resources.
Well, I think that goes back to the same thing. Brian Kelly was a disappointment at Notre Dame. He just left there before they fired him.
Right.
They would have fired him if he'd stayed much longer. But he parlayed something into a job at LSU, but I think the biggest thing with him is, and it all goes back to the same thing. Here's who's calling shots now. It's not the AD. It's the people that are putting all that money into the program.
You're absolutely right.
And you know, if they say, "Hey, I'm tired of screwing with this guy. I'm not going to put money into it anymore," they got to get rid of him.
Yeah, I'm sure Billy Bob Chevrolet in Baton Rouge. They say, "Hey, you ain't seeing any more money from me unless you fire this guy."
That's right.
You know, but LSU goes on the list of teams looking for a coach, which Greg kind of alluded to it. It moves Arkansas down the pecking order.
Yeah.
And not all these teams are going to get a big-time coach. And at some point, somebody's going to have to say, you know what, we're not going to get a big-time coach, so we're going to look for the next Cignetti, which is what I've been saying they ought to do all along.
Well, you look at this list that you have here, LSU, Penn State, and Florida. They can probably pick who they want, you know.
Well, can they, though? The rumor is they all want Lane Kiffin, and he says he ain't going anywhere.
Well, I'm not necessarily saying. I'm saying of the coaches that want to go somewhere, you know, or the big name coaches. But, those are the three
of the coaches that want to go somewhere. They're the ones that's just been fired. They're Williams. They're Kelly. I mean, I'm sure Billy Napier would love to have a call from somebody.
Well, James Franklin, he'll probably get one from LSU.
I don't know. I don't know if that will satisfy their fan base.
And that's the whole thing. And again, I'm going to tell you the same thing about every one of these jobs that I'll say about Arkansas. It's not about who you hire. It's about how much money you got.
Right.
And I firmly believe that. You know, when you look at these games, I mean, you know, I think Beamer's probably the obvious choice for Virginia Tech. So he's going to leave South Carolina probably.
Which will be another job that's on par with Arkansas's that somebody's out there looking for a coach.
That's right. Yeah.
When you say it's not about who you hire, who was Stanford's coach?
I don't know.
Was it not Andrew Luck?
No.
He was doing something on the staff there.
Maybe he's the AD.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say, because he's a legend at Stanford.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think they fired Andrew Luck. But I may be wrong. But you know, all these teams have one thing in common. When they fire their coaches, they got to pay them a big buyout. And, you know, like Brian Kelly's $53 million. $53 million to stink.
Yeah, we're going to pay you $53 million to not coach us.
Yeah. Jimmy Sexton is a genius. I guarantee you he's the one that did this, and he's got 80 or 90% of these people under contract.
Yeah.
Now, are these buyouts now, like if they don't take a job, or does it matter?
Because remember,
I think when it goes Bielema, down if you take a job.
When Bielema had that buyout in his contract, you know, he had to not be paid as a coach.
Well, I've
that's when he was volunteering for the Patriots in the NFL.
Some of these coaches are in situations that, you know, like he couldn't take a job in the SEC. He could take any other job, but he couldn't take a job in the SEC. Franklin may be to where he can't take a job in the Big Ten, which right now Penn State's really the only. Well, I guess UCLA's in the Big Ten. So
yeah, Wisconsin's going to be open too, I think.
So I mean, there's just going to be – it is ridiculous.
Jimbo Fisher kind of set the
tone. There's going to be a lot of schools disappointed about who they get with the coach, and some of them ought to be really happy because there's some good no-name young coaches out there to go get. I understand.
It's about the money, though. I mean, if you go get, it's like I've said this for 3 or 4 weeks ever since Pittman got fired, but I can't remember how many weeks that's been now. Seems like it's been forever. But you go get one of those, and they can be a great coach. It's not about their coaching ability. It's about are they going to draw the money necessary to do what you want to do. Well, you've got to decide what you. The first thing, we'll use Arkansas, and this is my opinion. We'll use Arkansas. They got to decide whether they're going to try to compete for a national championship or not. Now, before they ever try to hire a coach, if they're going to try to compete for a national championship, then they need to go gather the money up. Then they tell Lane Kiffin, we got $70 million a year that we're ready to spend on football. Your salary, your coaches' salaries, and
your players' salaries.
Your players' salaries, yeah. and or whatever the number is.
Right, I understand.
But that then you can get who you want. That's what they did in basketball.
Yeah.
Johnny Tyson just said, here's you $8 million, and here's another $8 million to play the players. It takes a lot more money, but it doesn't. You're not going to entice anybody unless they know how much money you got.
Mm. Back to Tony's point about, you know, 34-14 not being good enough for LSU. I mean, these teams jumping the gun on being a little disappointed. Jimbo Fisher's a good example. I talked about him setting the bar for this money they're having to pay him. You know, if those freshmen and sophomores that he recruited are still at A&M. Those were his players that are number two in the nation right now.
Yeah.
You know, so what would he have done down the road? You don't know.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I know Greg's right. Your boosters have got to be excited about who you hire. And, you know, you think about Silverfield at Memphis, what he's doing. And he has more funds than a lot of these G5 programs do. Golish at South Florida probably has a little less backing than Memphis. I think of a guy that was at Marshall, that Charles Huff, who took Marshall to a bowl game every year. With I'm telling you, Marshall's NIL is basically Tudor's Biscuit World, and he goes to Southern Miss. Southern Miss won one game last year. They're now 6-2 and probably going to win the Sun Belt. So that's the kind of guy I would be looking for and try to get my fan base excited about that. I've said this before, and I'll probably say it again. How much did Cignetti move the needle when Indiana hired him with their fan base? Probably very little.
Yeah.
Look at it now.
Yeah. Yep. He got a big contract, so I guess he's out of the loop. I just think that he's probably not long term. That's not going to be a great situation there in Indiana. I may be wrong because it depends on how much money they got. Again,
right?
You know, if they got enough money, it can be good. But you know, you can do something for 1 year, but doing it year in, year out in conferences like the Big Ten, the SEC.
That's what I was totally going to say. It doesn't story. Always the move doesn't always work. PJ Fleck. You know, they thought he was going to be the next great thing at Minnesota. I'm trying to think where he was. Rode the boat. Where was
he? I don't know.
He's still at Minnesota.
I know it. I'm talking about when he took that job.
Oh,
know?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You know, they're thinking national Rutgers championships. Or like that.
Yeah.
I was thinking Western Michigan, Central Michigan,
could be.
Something.
But. Yeah.
Well, if I had to lay money down right now,
I'd pick it up.
I'm laying money on Bobby Petrino.
Well, that's where you're going to save the most money, and in 2 or 3 years we'll be having this same conversation.
That's right.
I'm not saying
that's who I want.
I understand.
I'm just saying
the betting favorite would be.
Well, I mean, if you look at the last time we hired Sam Pittman because we couldn't find anybody else, couldn't get anybody else to come for what we wanted.
And there are more openings now than there was when Pittman.
That's
was.
Why I made the post the other day that I caught grief on Facebook that I hope we get blown out the rest of the season, so he's not an option.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Greg and I talked, it was 2 weeks ago or last week, that what if Arkansas does what they've been doing? What if they lose out, but it's all single digits? Is that good enough?
Yeah.
And that's very possible, that they could lose out and not get blown out.
Yeah. Yeah, well that quarterback's hurt.
Yeah.
Just so y'all know. I knew that Saturday.
Right.
Because he didn't run.
Right.
He's always run.
Right.
And so he's hurt, and that may be why he threw 4 interceptions too. You know, I don't know that, but.
Well,
but,
I think if Arkansas so loses if Arkansas loses to Mississippi State this week,
yeah.
Whatever glare is on Petrino will be off.
Yeah. Probably. Yeah,
that nobody will be on Bobby Petrino anymore.
But they still got to find somebody else.
Well, I understand that. I've made similar suggestions, yeah. Greg. Have you been writing these down?
Yeah, no. I think it's more important to go gather up some money. That's what I think. And Juracek's not the guy to do it.
Right.
I don't think that. You want to talk about any of these other coaching jobs that are opening, or do y'all care about talking about those in particular?
Well, just the how many there are, how many of those jobs are better than the Arkansas job, how many are on par. It just doesn't look good for the Razorbacks to get the guy they want.
Yeah. Agreed. But it's all about money. Again, yeah. I think. So, I mean, but getting somebody young is the way to go, obviously, if you get totally the right guy. So, if you get Chad Morris again, So,
well, you know, I think that was a generational hire. I don't know. I'm not sure you could screw it that
much. And a lot of people thought it was a good hire at the time. I mean, I like the excitement that he
once
brought.
Once in a lifetime hire, Chad Moore.
I like the excitement he brought in his day one press conference, but.
Left lane, hammer down.
Wait, breaking news. Game 3 of the World Series just ended.
That's true.
I didn't see the end of it.
I didn't see any of it. But I did watch the highlights. Took about 5 minutes. There were some great highlights.
How many innings did it go?
18.
18?
Walk-off home run by the Dodgers in the 18th inning.
And nobody under 12 years old was up to see it, which is what baseball really does well, is cultivate fans for the future.
Yeah.
yeah. out there on the West
That's
Coast.
Okay. They all had the ESPN. They got to see the good parts.
Who hit the home run?
Was it Freddie Freeman?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's Freeman. One of the few Dodgers that I like. I like Freddie.
Hey, you know, Ohtani hit two home runs.
I'm rooting for the Dodgers. I hope the next 10 World Champions are Dodgers, Yankees, Red Sox, Yankees, Dodgers, Yankees. Because that's the only way baseball's going to fix their problem.
Nah, they won't fix it.
I did flip over long enough to see a stat that Ohtani is the only player in Major League history to have six shutout innings and go 3-for-3 with three home runs in a game.
Mm-hmm.
He's pretty special. I think when he decides to hang it up, there'll be people saying he's the best player that ever played. A bit better than Babe Ruth.
And injuries, injuries have got him a few times already. So, yeah. I mean, his numbers could be crazy.
You know, he set a record last night.
He's reaching base nine times. Of course, five were walks, intentional walks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. He had two home runs and two doubles, then he was intentionally walked five times.
He still got on, though.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Which is still dangerous because last year he became the first member of the 60-60 club with 60 steals. I mean, so give him a free pass, and he's still going to get the second if he wants to.
Yeah, man. Yeah. He's a good player, and the highlights are really fun to watch.
Oh, yeah.
I'm glad they have them so I don't have to watch the games.
How about them Steelers?
Oh, yeah, man. I tell you what, their play matched their uniforms.
Their play was uglier.
I don't know about that.
I can't say that, Tony. Those were some of the ugliest uniforms I've ever seen.
They've got a set that's uglier than that, the Bumblebees.
I'd rather wear the Bad News Bees before I'd wear that, though.
Well, I mean, I don't know how you get all that yellow and then go with Notre Dame gold pants.
I don't know what those – they weren't even gold. They were like tan. Looked like a pair of khakis.
Oh. No one wants tan.
They were bad.
Tan is a bad color.
Unless you're at the beach.
Going to go, and I love the gold helmets, by the way, but if you're going to do that, just have an old gold uniform. All gold with black, white trim.
Yeah.
Look sharp.
Well,
no. We gotta mess it up. We got to put random stripes on the front of it.
Double dip on ugliness.
That was a strike against them before they ever started playing. They had to put on those uniforms, and they put them on.
I can see Aaron Rodgers putting that on saying, I didn't agree to this.
Yeah. He didn't look happy when he came out.
He did not. But, man, you know, I posted on Facebook, you know, the NFL salary cap right now is about $280 million. The Steelers are spending $163 million of that on their defense. And to be getting the results from their defense that they're getting, spending roughly 65% of their salary cap on defense, is unforgivable. Mm. I mean, they've got, they're all old too. I mean, it's not like that there's an easy fix, but you got a bunch of people that Tomlin apparently brought in on based on what they did 3 or 4 years ago. And it's just not going, it's not, you know, they may stumble and still win this division. They still may go 9-8 or 10-7 or whatever, because everybody else in the division is stumbling too. But, I mean, it's going to be the same thing. It's going to be a first-round playoff exit or not make the playoffs at all.
Yeah.
And it's disappointing because – and I do think this is Tomlin's last hurrah. I think the Steelers will have no choice but to let him go at the end of this year. And somebody else will pick him up, and it'll be a great pickup, you know, with fresh ideas, fresh eyes, you know, he could go somewhere else and have a renaissance, kind of like Andy Reid did when he left the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
But I think his time with the Steelers is done.
Well, I hope for the Steelers' sake that he just retires.
Yeah.
Because that's what's happened. You know, they've had all these coaches for such long periods of time.
Haven't ever fired them.
And had never had to fire one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I that's pretty cool. That's a pretty cool thing. Yeah.
It is.
And so I hope that happens. I don't know that it will. But because he's probably not done. But, losing like he's losing, it makes him look old.
It does.
You know, you look at his face, it's like, what am I doing?
Well, The offense that Arthur Smith and Tomlin have come up with, that's very tight end oriented and kind of jumbo package oriented, it just doesn't work in the NFL today. And You know, they've had 5 years or so to fix this quarterback problem. They known Roethlisberger was going to retire. Then he retired. Then they drafted Kenny Pickett. And now we're at a 42-year-old man playing quarterback for you. And the next Steeler quarterback's not on the roster.
No, and but he does play well. I mean, for this year, their biggest pickup was DJ Metcalf. That guy's, he's like a monster.
Well, they're scoring enough points to win.
Mm-hmm.
The offense is good enough to win. And Chris Boswell, probably you could argue the Dallas kicker, but you think about what Boswell has to kick off of there in Pittsburgh, loose turf, you know, rain. You know, he may be the best kicker in football. And, you know, if Green Bay had had Chris Boswell, they'd have beat the Steelers worse than they did.
Yeah.
Didn't he miss two or three field goals the other night?
Yeah, I think he missed a couple.
McManus, is that his name?
But, I thought, you know, I think that that Green Bay win was monumental for Green Bay. It didn't make that much difference to Pittsburgh. Now, it did to you, I know. But overall, it was much bigger win for Green Bay than it was a loss for Pittsburgh. It wasn't in division, but Jordan Love beating Aaron Rodgers.
That's
a changing of the guard.
Love completed 19 consecutive passes at one point.
Yeah.
Most that have been completed in how many years was it? 8 years or something?
Nah, I don't know.
Like the whole NFL?
Yeah.
And they weren't little bitty passes either. I mean,
I know they said he tied Bart Starr.
No, the Steelers' secondary looks lost. Their linebackers look – the Steelers aren't known for great linebacker play. Their linebackers look lost. And they've got – and now that they've got a couple of good young linebackers that Queen is getting snaps ahead of and things like that. And these young linebackers are only getting 15, 20 snaps a game. And people saying, why? You know, why are you playing Queen? He's always out of position. And this is league-wide. This is football-wide. Everybody wants to knock somebody down. Nobody wants to tackle anybody. You want to knock somebody down. And, man, tackling's just a lost art. And that's my old man. Get off my lawn. You know,
that's only like the second time I've got to watch the Packers play this year. And what impressed me is the young receivers, you know, because they've got some injuries. And everybody contributed. I mean, that number two back. I mean,
the tight end that just ate the Steelers alive. What was his name?
Kemp. I told you if you hadn't. Kraft.
Kraft. Yeah. Yeah. He ate Steelers alive.
Well, I think they're going to be okay the rest of the year. I think they're still. They're going to win some games, and
they'll maybe sneak into the playoffs, and you know, Kansas City or Buffalo will beat them by 40, and then the Tom Lehrer will be over. Yeah. That's what it looks like is going to happen to me.
Yeah. Well, and then – so moving on to something even worse, you got the Cowboys.
At least he could still laugh about something.
I can't figure that out.
Well, I'm watching the Cowboys the other day, and I'm watching their defense, and I'm thinking, man, if only a team in the NFL had a generational – talented player that they could trade the Cowboys to play defense. And I'm thinking, well, that's exactly what the Cowboys did. They traded Micah Parsons.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who made a big impact on that game.
Oh, he did.
Without making a lot of plays.
He absolutely did. But I don't think one guy's going to help the Cowboys. And I think they knew that when they traded Parsons.
Yeah, well, and I think they've spent so much money on offensive players, they don't have any money.
They got the opposite problem the Steelers do.
Yeah, they do, and their defense is, you know, and then they got a couple of guys hurt.
Yeah.
And so now they're playing in the secondary with backups, which you can't do.
No.
You know, there are very few backups are the equivalent of the starters.
Well, you know, Denver's a good football team. Yeah. They're not a great football team, but they made Dallas look really, really average.
Well, and they're a good defensive football team.
Yeah.
But they're not or they may be a great defensive football team, but they're not that good. Bo Nix is not that good.
You know what stood out to me about that game? First thing I noticed was Dobbins running back for the Broncos wearing number 27. And I'm wondering how the second best safety in the NFL ever's numbers not retired.
Yeah.
He would be the best safety ever in the NFL if it wasn't for a guy named Ronnie Lott. But Steve Atwater.
Yeah.
That number should be retired. But you know, the Steelers don't retire numbers, isn't that?
That's correct.
Yeah.
That is correct.
Yeah.
I would probably throw Troy Polamalu here.
He has nice hair. Anything else y'all guys want to talk about before we go?
Nah.
All right. Well, it's time to go for another week. Now we appreciate all our sponsors. We couldn't do it without you, man. We appreciate all the coaches, play-by-play guys getting with us and giving us the information. But most of all, we appreciate the kids. That's who we do it for. We'll see you next week.
See you next week.
See you next week.